All right, all right,
Blog
all right.
Talk Radio.
Hey. Guess who's in town? Watchman on the Wall. Watchman on the Wall is in the business of what? Telling the world, telling the neighborhood, telling the postman, telling the mailman, telling those that know what it means to know what real salvation is. And that's Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. Good evening, everybody, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that's on his way, the one that was, the one that is, and the one to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's the alphabet through the generations of the signs of time. This is Elder Bazaar going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. Georgia, where we got Block Talk Radio. We got Derek Oliver. Amen. My co-host. Amen. And he's going to put me on and take me over there to Lubbock, Texas. And there I got Timmy Jackson. Going to be on with me tonight for about 30 minutes. Amen. He's on the job. He's working. And I respect a man working. Amen. And he's going to come on the first 30 minutes. And you know, he might get happy. I don't know. He might get happy because it's time to rejoice in the Lord. It's time to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to have a prayer. Amen. And then I'm going to turn it over to Tim Jackson. I haven't heard him for a while. Amen. I want to hear what he got to say. I know he got something to say. Amen. Because it's coming from the Word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come for you right now. We need you right now. We are calling on your name because there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that he died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Amen. He come back from the grave. Amen. With all power in heaven and earth in his hand. We ask you right to touch somebody's soul right now. Those that need to know the truth. Hey, the truth shall make you free. And when you are free through Jesus Christ, you are free indeed. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, your patience that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for sparing us another day. And at this time right now, as I give it over to Tim Jackson, amen, touch his mind, touch his spirit, touch his understanding that he can speak from the Word of God and give us, amen, some good hope, some good news, because the world today ain't giving us about bad news everywhere. Mm-hmm. Coming from the church, coming from the beer joint, coming from the economical system, the political system, and the really bad news. But the Word of God has the best news that you can ever have, and that is Christ died for your sins, set you free. And now, in Jesus' name, let the program go on. All right, Brother Tim, work with it.
Amen, brother. It's a blessing to be here. Can you hear me?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. We're grateful for our life, soul, health, and strength. We bless and praise his holy name. Grateful for the saints that are listening. Amen. It's a blessing to be in the land of the living.
Yes,
amen. Just yesterday, we had buried an associate of ours, an old friend of mine that we used to hang out with back in the day. He had passed away earlier this month, same age as me. Amen. So, Lord have mercy. All I can say is, you know, we're here today, gone tomorrow. And so this is why we preach the way we preach. This is why we teach the way we teach. And this is why we teach salvation. We're praying so much for you, your loved ones. Amen. We're praying that prayer for God's grace and his mercy. And I know why I'm still here. I know why I'm still here.
All right.
I'm still here by the grace of God.
Yes,
nothing that I deserve to receive this and to be here. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes when people pass away or something happens, we always think, well, did they do something? Amen. All here by the grace of God. That's it. By God's grace and mercy, he saw fit to allow you to see one other day. And all I can say to you, amen, is I'm grateful to be here. I had talked to one of my friends this morning as he was driving back home to Dallas. And we were just kind of talking about, you know, the situation. And, Amen. You know,
amen.
God is good. Amen.
Yes, he
you
is.
You just never know. And this is why we teach so much. And I have my little book open. Amen. I have it's a little study book on the book of Revelation. I didn't buy it. It was a gift to me about 20 years ago. Yeah, in fact, it was about 20 years ago when I received this book. And it was a class that I was taking at Dallas Theological Seminary. And the instructor of the class, her dad, was very known, especially in the Asian Christian community. She blessed us with this book. I've been having it ever since. And the page that I have open, amen, is the
Great
White Throne Judgment.
Come on, look up here.
Amen.
Look up here.
Ooh. The Great White Throne Judgment. Amen. And the reason why, you know, because you hear so many things on social media, and I'm praying so much for people. I really am, because we have to be careful what we receive, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, somebody, our neighbor, somebody at work, because so many people out here teaching so many different things. There are so many different false doctrines. There are people out here who try to disapprove the church or say that the church is real or God isn't real. And what I have to say to that, amen, is this. If God wasn't real, you wouldn't be real. And if you don't think you're real, amen, I'm not telling nobody to hurt themselves, but if you don't think God is real, that means you're not real. And if you don't think you're real, that you live in reality, see, you get all this nonsense online. People talk about we live in, what they say, a matrix, and this is a dream, or this is another dimension, I mean. And I think about it like, see, this is what the devil does when he knows his time is getting close. He causes confusion. That's all the devil does.
Brother.
He causes confusion. Man, do you know all the nonsense that I hear every day?
Amen.
Garbage, that's it. And I can't help but to think, wow, you know, people just don't know. If they're not careful, they'll fall for some of this nonsense. And as I was saying, if you don't think you're real, just think back in your mind to a time that you was in pain. Not joy, pain.
Pain.
Because you want to know why I said I chose pain over joy? Because when it comes to joy, we kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
When we have good times, we take it for granted. It's kind of like,
brother.
We kind of like, okay, I had a good time. That was great. But see, pain is something that will make you remember it, especially for days.
Come on.
You are suffering whatever it is that you're dealing with. Let's say you lost a loved one. You're gonna suffer for some days, maybe some weeks, maybe some months. But if you went out tonight, and I mean, boy, you had the time of your life. You had a blast.
Yeah.
Would you be talking about that 2 or 3 months later? Not as much. You wouldn't go throughout the day with it on your mind. That's just not how it is when you have joy. We kind of seem to take joy for granted. The reason why I brought up pain is to let you know that this life is real.
It's real.
When I hurt, when I feel things, if I stump my toe, if I drop something on my foot, if I burn my hand, it's real.
Don't
let nobody tell you we in some type of matrix. There are so many different dimensions. I've had people tell me silly stuff like, when you die, this is it. It's just total darkness. And I say, Lord have mercy.
Woo!
And we just don't know how many people did not wake up to see another day.
Come on, preacher.
And how many souls have went to hell?
Went to hell, brother.
Lord have mercy. There are so many people that leave this world lost every single day.
Lost.
People that we don't know, people that we know, people that we love. And you never know what people do. All you can do is pray that they got it right before they left. This is every and anybody. I'm not speaking on nobody's life. I'm just simply saying we preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior because
yes,
I don't want to see you lost. Because you want to know why. There is an afterlife.
Yes, it is.
There is an afterlife. When this life is done, you got to stand before God if you didn't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Say it again, brother. Say it again. Say it again.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know I will. If you don't accept Christ as your Lord and Savior before you leave this life,
yes, sir.
You will be at the great white throne judgment. I don't mean behind or with Christ. I mean you'll be sitting down in front of Christ. And Lord have mercy. Oh my gosh. You talking about something that nobody in existence wants to see. Because if Christ opened those books and you're standing before him to be judged, that means you don't have a chance. Your chance is now. And so many people take God for granted. I used to take God for granted. I grew up in church. I grew up saying silly stuff like, oh, man, I'll get saved later. Oh, man, I ain't going to worry about that. Man, please, what you talking about? Man, I ain't going to get saved today. You know, I'll worry about that stuff later. Lord have mercy. Do you not know?
Come on, preacher.
Lord have mercy. That God is so graceful and merciful that I could have died in them streets. While
you
I was hanging out at the clubs, going in and out to bars, going out in and out to women's houses, I could have died. And I think back over my life, the classmates, the friends, the associates that we have lost in this life. And I think about their lifestyle. And
come
I think
on.
About some of the things that people say and the things that people believe. Oh, man, I don't believe in that nonsense. And next year they're gone.
They're gone.
The only thing you could think of in your mind is did he or she ever get saved before they left this
come
world?
Come on. Come on, preacher.
Because God is no restricted person. And the death angel sure don't care. Because the death angel wants to take you out any way he can. He don't want you to get a chance. See, people who get a terminal illness, to me, they get a chance. Because they get, just like my brother, that's why I said that. Because my brother, man, y'all just don't know. My brother used to say stuff when I was a kid. He used to tell me and the other brothers. He was the second to the oldest child. You know what he used to say? Man, I don't want to be saved. I don't want to go to heaven. Now, all six of us boys are the children of a pastor as a father and a mother that played the piano in the church. In other words, they was active in the church in the ministry of God.
Come on, preacher.
And I can't help but to think about how my brother, out of all the brothers, he was the only one admittedly saying he didn't care if he go to heaven or anything. We just couldn't understand where he got his mind of thinking from. Like you were raised in the same house as we were raised in. What brought this type of mindset? So we wasn't raised like that. We were never.
No.
My dad preached on hell. He preached on heaven. He preached on the lake of fire. He talked about the book of Revelation. He talked about the book of Revelation where other pastors still today, to this day, April 7th,
2024.
Come on, preacher. A lot of pastors won't even crack open the book and read a scripture. They won't even read a scripture out of the book of Revelation.
Come on, preacher. Tell
I'm just being real. Today, I'm just being real. I'm
be
pouring
real.
Out because my heart goes out to mankind. There are people online. They are so concerned about making money, concerned about getting likes, comments, shares. They're so entangled in this life that they don't understand. If they was to pass away the next instant, there is a world. There is a life.
Come on.
On the other side of this life we know here.
Woo.
Call life.
Come
call
on.
The natural life. Call reality. There is another reality where demons are, where fallen angels are locked away, where there's a realm that Lucifer rules right now until Christ casts it into the lake of fire. Man, I don't want nobody to be lost.
No.
I don't wish hell or the lake of fire or damnation on my worst enemy. I just don't.
Come on. Come on, preacher. Come
because
on, preacher.
For one,
make it plain.
Because for one, amen, it lasts for all eternity.
Come
Do
on.
You know how long all eternity is? You can't fathom how long
no.
all eternity is. There is nothing in your mind can fathom how long. There is no number on this planet that can capture eternity. Eternity will outrun any, oh my gosh, out Ooh. Eternity will outrun any number that man could think of. Oh my
Come
God.
On, man.
That's why Tell they it. Made a little symbol that looked like the number 8 sitting on the side and called it infinity. Because
the
there's
infinity.
No, we can't think of numbers. See, numbers ain't just writing numbers 1 and 2. Numbers is spelling out the numbers. It's a what word? Oh my gosh, man! I hope y'all hearing me today.
Yeah.
I don't want to see nobody lost. It's sad to see these young people killing one another.
Come on, man.
Just the other week, we lost a young man. The guy lost his son. He was my brother's and them class, my older brother's classmate. We went to go see him. The young man. Had a problem with the young man, walked up behind him, had words with him, and I don't know why. I guess the guy turned around and didn't take him seriously, but when he turned back around, he shot him in the back of the head. The bullet came out of his face.
Lord have mercy.
I said, Lord Woo! Have mercy. This is my wife's first cousin's child. I said, Lord have mercy. What type of world we live in? The young man didn't have a chance. That was it. That was it.
No chance.
I mean, the guy,
no chance.
Yeah, the guy, yeah, he didn't have no chance. The guy didn't point it in his face. He didn't say, hey, man, I'm going to do something to you. If he did, he didn't take it serious. I don't know what happened, you know what I'm saying? The mom was telling us what happened, but still, to have somebody shoot you in the back of your head, my God, what type of world are we living in?
Woo!
People have no care. People
no
don't care.
Care. No more.
No more. That's premeditated. He walked up to, they was at a line. He was standing in line fixing to get something to eat. Can you imagine that? No, I don't know.
Lord,
no, I think, yeah. I think they said he was standing. Yeah, he sure was. He was standing in line fixing to get something to eat. Can you imagine that you stand in line fixing to feed yourself and you're going to get something to eat? You think, man, I'm going to eat. And next thing you know, bam, you dead. You gone. Forever. Forever. His mother and father will never see him again. He'll never see his mother and father. Yet again, this is why it's important. I'm not saying where anyone has went. I'm simply saying, when I got saved 23 years ago, my kids were still little. I think my oldest son, back then, when I got saved, he was like 12 or maybe 13. My older kids were just now about to enter into their teen years. In 2000. You know what I said? I said, man, I'm going to get my kids saved while they're young. Because a lot of people believe, oh, you don't have to get them saved. That's too early. They don't know nothing about salvation. That's a lie.
That's a lie.
If a baby can learn how to talk and walk at 1 year old, that's a lie. I seen a kid, Brother Elder, not even barely 1 year old, reading and doing math problems. Do y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Reading a book. I saw another child doing math, doing stuff I don't even know how to do as a 51-year-old grown male. He's this little one-year-old kid is doing amazing math. You going to tell me kids don't know no better? The devil is
Come on, come on.
You better teach
come
them
on.
Kids salvation. As soon as they learn how to walk and talk, you better put God in their heart.
Woo! Lord, have mercy.
I don't care about the age of grace. You put God, I made sure my kids were saved before they turned whatever age you want to say grace is. I made sure my kids knew what salvation was the whole time. I made sure, because you want to know why? One thing I know is when kids become teenagers, oh, you in for a fight. So I didn't raise six kids. They 18 and above. They all grown, thank God. All grown, be to God. My last child, my last baby graduates this year. I instill salvation in them at such a young age for the purpose that I didn't want to get into no fight, because you want to know why? loose-ass soldiers that when you at work, when you're in there watching your TV, Lucifer's at work 24-7. When you're in your bed,
24-7.
24-7, the devil's working. And he'll get in your kids. I remember one night, my two teenage kids, the other year, snuck out of the house at night, climbed out the window. I didn't know nothing about it. I was actually driving. My wife was in the bedroom sleeping. I was on the road driving. My wife was driving the truck. I was on the road. I come home the next morning. My wife got them up, I mean, going through them. I didn't know what was going on. I came in the house like 6, 7, 8, 8 a.m. I came outside. She just going off on me. Because, yeah, snuck up high. What I'm saying to you is, I don't care who you are. I don't care about you being saved. I care about you being saved. But the point that I'm making is, it don't matter. It ain't about the title. It don't matter about how long you've been saved. Lucifer is star. He
yes,
was in the garden.
Is.
He got Eve to betray Adam and Yahweh.
Yes.
The point that I'm making is, why you think, no, not my kids. You think I wasn't in shock. There were some things that my older kids did that they talk about now. They grown now. I was in shock. I didn't know they were doing when they was in high school. I'm like, Lord, I mean, if I don't know your butt was doing, I would throw your butt up. That's what I'm saying. You don't know what your kids are doing when they're not around you. You don't
all
have
right,
time
all
to
right.
wait. We don't have time to play with salvation. We don't have time to sit back and say, oh, you know, I'll get to that. No, you better get them saved while they babies.
Come on now. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a YouTube channel now. Amen. I have a YouTube channel. If you all get a chance, I'd like for you all to visit, like, and subscribe, or at least watch the video. All right, all right. It's called Reign, R-E-I-G-N, Reign, like Christ Reign. It's called Reign in Love Media. Again,
Woo!
Reign in
Bless
Love
the Lord.
Media. I got a few videos on it, so go on and watch, subscribe, support. I appreciate it.
Hey,
but
bless the Lord. Yes, sir.
Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. But what
yes,
I want to say
yes,
to
sir.
You all, it's my God. We don't have time. We
no
don't.
Time left. No time left.
You know, they're predicting 2024. Some people are now saying 2030, Christ come back. Listen, let me tell you something. This is something that I've always said since I got saved. I said, if you die today, it doesn't really matter when Christ come back. Get right for your own soul salvation.
Come on,
you can leave this world today. Christ can come tomorrow and you can leave today. The point is, are you saying, are you? I've had your brother Elder. You know what I've had people say. I had somebody in my family tell me, well, since you telling me this and teach me all this, if Christ come back and rapture y'all, then I know to get saved. I just laughed at it. I said, okay, maybe that's a thing. I'm just simply saying for myself, I wouldn't chance that.
No,
you don't know what you're gonna be when Christ returns to get to church. And you want to know why?
Mm-hmm.
There is some predictions. Because I had a debate with one of my brothers because he said he don't believe that when the gathering together, which is the rapture, do happen. He don't believe that planes are going to fall out of the sky, stuff like that. I said, brother, why would you say that? I said, that's going to be highly likely. It's going to be highly likely to be a bunch of car wrecks because if those believers are gone, they're driving those planes and cars, what do you think will happen to those cars? They ain't all just all
right.
stop. They're going to keep
Tell
going.
It.
You have to remember, the day of the Lord starts when Christ blow that trumpet and he calls the church out of this world. The
yes.
Holy Spirit going to step back. It's called the day of the Lord. Understand
yes,
what this is about. And when he steps back, judgments and punishments is going to hit this planet. And
Come
guess
on,
what?
Preacher.
That's going to be part of the judgments and punishments because they decided not to receive God. They rejected God. So whatever situation you in, if the bus driver was saved and he's driving the bus and he ain't here no more, that bus is just driving down the highway going 75 miles per hour, you better hope somebody can grab that bus or that diesel truck or that plane
Woo!
Or that car and stop it. Because do you know how many deaths going to be in the world on that day? Oh, man, the day of the Lord ain't going to be no joke. See, y'all said,
it ain't no joke.
ain't no joke. Me and the elder, we can't if there's no picture that we can paint. There is no picture that
no,
we can paint on
Come
how it's going to be. We can't tell you how bad. I wish that we could just, man, just give it to you. I can't paint a picture. I know within my spirit how bad it's going to be. I just told somebody the other week. It was my niece I was talking to. I said, boy, demons going to be crawling this planet like crazy. And y'all want to be
Come on, preacher.
There's going to be stuff that's going to be happening that they can't even explain.
Come on. Tell it.
And you wanna be here? No, not I.
No.
I bet you I won't be here. I'll
no,
make
I
sure.
I know I won't be there.
Amen.
No, sir.
Amen.
I know
you won't, doctor. And I made sure I did everything in my power to make sure that my kids understand salvation.
Come on, preacher.
And let me tell you, even after I know that they confess with their mouth, believe with their heart when they were children, I still talk to them as adults just to see where their head is at. Because I'm telling you, you don't know how crazy the world is. Your child better came up with some old silly stuff.
Silly stuff.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But not because there's so much influence out here in the world on
Ooh,
social media.
Lord have mercy.
So many false doctrine. People ain't studying the scripture. They ain't provided no scripture to back up nothing that they teach. Everybody's just flapjacking. Just talking.
Flapjacking, yeah.
Flapjacking, doctor. I said, man, where is the scripture to back up what they teach? And I ain't saying that they wrong, but, man, I'm from the show me state. I need for you to show me where that's at. Amen?
Come on.
I had somebody to tell me something the other day that I didn't agree with. I said, brother, you got to show me that in Scripture.
Come on,
see, the Bible, amen, you better talk, doctor. The Bible requires us to tell the truth in love. That's what the Bible requires us to do. I'm going to love on you and tell you the truth. I'm going to show you some Scripture. See, that love, because I want you to know and understand. And if you disapprove anything that I say, that's fine. I got Scripture. Go to the Bible and study for yourself. See, you won't ever be able to say that Brother Tim or Pastor Tim said this. No, you ain't going to do me like that. You're going to say Pastor Tim said what the Bible said. That's what you're going to say.
Amen, brother.
That's what you're going to, because you won't ever be able to say, oh, well, he said, no, I ain't said nothing. I simply said what the Bible said. Brother, hopefully, you know, if I got a little more time, if it's all right with you,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Because I want, man, my heart is just, my gosh, y'all just don't know. I'm online. I'm seeing this young man kill this girl. This young man who shot this girl. Just in the city I live in, this young boy shot this girl. I don't know what's going on with these young men. They killing these ladies like crazy out here.
Yeah, they don't lost
your daughters.
Brother.
Fathers, get in your daughter's life. I don't care about your relationship with the mother. We got to be men. We got to get over that nonsense. Oh, the baby mama, that's your child. Be there for your children and do everything that you can to be in your child. Don't let the baby mama stop you from being in your kid's life. Fatherhood is so important. They want to discredit us and act like we are important. I refuse to let any devil in hell stop me from being a father to my kid. I always said if it didn't work out between me and my wife, I was going to do everything in my power to take care of my kids. Even if I had to work three
come
jobs,
on, come
I was going to take care
come
of my
on.
Kids, and I was going to be a part of their life. Well, no, as long as God made me an able body, in my right mind, man, I'm going to work. The devil
Come
is
on.
Not going to stop me, because you want to know why? I'm not saying that
Amen.
The folks can brag or to be cocky. I stand on that by the word of God. I say that by God, because God wants us as men to provide and be there for our kids, despite what happens between you and that child's mother. I need to be a part of my kid's life. I need to influence my kid's life. Even if she is with another man, you still be a part, be a bigger part. That's even more reason to be in your kid's life. I always was there. I told myself from day one, Elder, I refuse to let another man raise my children.
All right.
My dad didn't do it, and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I said, man,
yeah.
I'll be darned if I let another man raise my kids. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because that's how important dads are. Look at our society. Look at our community. Look at the black community. It's because the fathers are not there. They're not standing up. These women can't raise them. That's why you got men out here. They so sensitive like women. These boys are so sensitive now. They out here taking these girls, beating up on girls. I said, beating up on girls? Why are these boys whooping on these girls? I don't even get that. I never understand why are these boys out here hit. And I hear these boys, you ought to see, you know what I mean? They be so quick to like they want to beat up a girl. But if it was a man, they wouldn't even buzz. I said, what's wrong with these young boys?
Yeah.
We got to get back to God. We got to get back to the foundation in the churches. We got to stop this nonsense about money. We got these pastors, they ain't talking about nothing about revelation. And it's okay to teach other things, but every now and then talk about Christ. They ain't talking about none of that. They talking about
fish fries, how much money
they bringing in. They all these conferences and all this stuff about money. I said, Lord have mercy. This is why the world is lost.
That's right. That's right. We got a bunch of wussies.
This is why the world.
Yeah.
Huh?
Got a bunch of wussies out there. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
Nobody wants to teach the truth. Nobody wants to talk about the used scriptures. It's like, to me, church has become a gathering place. It's like an event. It's like an entertainment event.
Yeah,
it's like going to
the
football game now.
Yeah. Entertainment center.
That's it. Let's see some dancing, some praise dancing, some singing, and hooping and hollering and scooting across the floor, which is fine. But are we teaching salvation? Are we mentoring our young kids? See, there used to be a time when one of the elders was saying where the church was more involved with our women and men in their lives. The young, talking about the youth. And I remember BTU. I think it was called BTU or BYTU. Something like that. We used to have the youth program. We used to have stuff like that. Most churches don't hardly have that no more. And then some of them say, talk to young folks don't want to come to church. Well, I mean, you got to make it more appealing for them. And I don't mean be like the world, but get them involved in certain activities. How about y'all have something like a little, I don't know, like a little game night for the kids? You got to get the kids involved somehow. We are losing our youth. The devil got, like they used to tell us when I was a teenager, when I was coming, the devil got something for us. I remember the preachers used to say, if we don't do something for the kids, the devil got something for us. He does. The devil got all kind of entertainment around us, influencing us. And we didn't know how much television was influencing our lives, but it was. We didn't see it back then, all these years, but now we see it now.
Yeah. It's here. It's here, brother.
I want to read some scriptures from Revelation.
Go ahead, brother. Work with it.
20th chapter.
Yes, sir.
And I want to look at verses 11 through 15. We are all familiar with this passage. This is the final judgment day. What I'm saying to you is the same. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. But there is no return from this.
Come on now.
This is not what I want. This shouldn't be what you want. Your loved ones, hey, parents, grab a hold of your kids tonight and find out, are they saved?
All right.
I don't care if they're 20 years old and they live in your house. And you know one thing I never understood, brothers? I never understood why people would take the girls to church and leave the boys at home. I never understood that. I had a good friend a long time ago. His mom used to do that. When he became a teenager, she no longer forced him to go to church. I was like, your mama don't make you go to church. He's like, no. I'm thinking to myself, in my mind, I'm thinking you ain't grown. And I was older than him. I still went to church. I was in high school.
All right.
I just never understood why his mom allowed him to stay at the house and play video games. And that same young man, you know, he was my friend then. He ended up killing somebody.
Mm.
I'm just saying, it's important that we stay a part of our kids' lives. We stay active in our children's lives. And I'm not trying to put nobody down. I'm not trying to put nobody's situation. Everybody's situation is different. But at the same time, we got to push God in our household. We got to get back to the basics and start teaching about the Heavenly Father, start teaching God and salvation. Let entertainment. We let entertainment. We let social media teach them and raise them now.
Yeah, Lord, have mercy.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what we do now. And it's okay. I get it if you want to stay home and watch church on TV, but you still got to every now and then talk to your kids. You don't know what your kids. Man, my kids will tell me the other year, last year, they was telling me that most of them kids at the school don't believe in God.
Yeah.
I said, they don't believe in God. I said, what you mean they don't believe? They don't believe in it. I said, there ain't no God. That's all this nonsense. The social media. See, the parents ain't concerned. Because the parents more likely don't believe in God. They got so far away from God. Some of these folks couldn't wait to get them up on their parents. You know, a generation back. No, I know the most, not all, but most of the parents then, some of them went to church. But I believe that most of our people, like my dad used to say, back in the early 1900s, my dad said there was no such thing. Everybody was at church. Pretty much everybody in the black community back in those days went to church. Not unless you were just a serious person that's just out there in the world. And they had people like that back then, but majority of the black community, my dad used to tell me when he was a kid, he used to tell me how they used to have to stand up. There wasn't no seat. They had to stand up. The women would be sitting down. The men guys said it would be so packed in the churches. People, he said it would be so, because my dad grew up in Louisiana. He said it would be so packed in the churches, people would be looking in the window. The windows would be up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said people be sitting in the windows listening to the pastor. He said there'd be waltzes in church. They still be in the church. I said, waltzes? He said, yeah, be waltzes at the top of the church. They'd be in there just praising God. I said, wow. But nowadays, you can't hardly even get people to want to go to church, especially now after the pandemic. They sure don't want to go to church.
They don't want to go to church.
Let me read Revelation 20, chapter verse 11.
All right.
I'm going to give it to the brother. Amen.
All right.
Lake of, I'm going to start at verse 10, actually. The lake of fire. I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever.
Lord,
as I said before early, I don't know who, I don't know nobody who wants that. My dad used to say, don't play with your soul. He used to say that. I don't see why you want to, I always say, I'd rather believe in God and find out that there's no God than to not believe in him and to find out that there's everlasting damnation. I think that's the worst situation. In fact, I know that's the worst situation.
Yes, it is.
Go to hell because, see, you don't know when you die. It ain't, see, you ain't gonna know when you get before God. See the great white throne judgment is to tell you why you're gonna burn for all eternity. For the wrong that you did and the fact that you rejected Christ. That's why you're gonna burn. See, that's what the great white throne is for. See, when you go to hell, that's to let you know, you're gonna burn for all eternity in the lake of fire. See, there's demons down there. And they're gonna remind you, because guess what? They're gonna be there too. They're going to remind you, oh, man, you didn't get saved? Oh, man, pity you. You had opportunity. You had a chance.
Yes, you did.
You know what my brother told me? You know what my brother told me? I had a couple of brothers been to prison. And one of them was telling me, this has been like a few months, maybe 3 or 4 months, but he was telling me, he said, one thing they don't play in prison He said that they don't like people who mess with children or murder children, guys who murder women. He said, surely if you murdered your mama, he said, they're going to get you. He said, if you did that, they're going to definitely get you. I said, really? He said, yes, there's just some things that they don't like. And when he said that, it put me in the mindset to think about demons, how demons are when people get to hell. And demons are going to be like, man, you mean to tell me you had an opportunity to get saved? And it's probably going to be it's bad altogether, especially when you're raised in the church. You know, you were people trying to tell you, man, you have the opportunity to get saved now is what I'm saying. Get saved while you have the opportunity. There's no need to let this beautiful opportunity for what? For women? For money? For glory? For fame? There's nothing on this earth that's more worth your salvation. I told you earlier how my brother used to talk. Thank God that God, through the prayers of my mom, my dad, grandparents, my family, he was blessed and fortunate enough to be given the chance to get saved before he died.
Yes, yes.
When he saw his body wasn't going to come back, he lost so much weight, he was withering away. I remember talking to him on the phone. He said, yeah, Tim, I said, this is it. He had beat counsel the first couple of times. He had beat. He said, man, not this time. This is it for me. And he knew it. I hadn't seen him in years. It was on the phone. He was living out in California at the time. He said he knew he wasn't coming back. He had lost so much weight. So he knew that he didn't have much longer to live. I think when I had talked to him, I talked to him that December. And next month in January, a month later, he was gone. It was such a blessing. I had, thank God, me and my other brother, me and both of us are in ministry, and we were just talking to him for 6 months straight. And he finally just, and some people like that. Reality has to set in, that there is nothing else for you. And God gave him a chance. It set in that, you know what, that if I don't get saved now, that hell probably is real. The lake of fire probably is real. He saw his body. This is a healthy man. This man was a bouncer. He's always been a fighter. And he saw his body diminish. So I'm sure there were some things going, a lot of things going through his mind. But God gave him the chance to say, you know what? God, I accept salvation. And I remember being on the phone with him. I was so happy to hear him, because this is a man that from the time I can remember as a kid, he would say he wanted to be in Hollywood. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to be famous. He wanted the money. He wanted the women. He said he didn't care. He said, give me my joy now. Give me my heaven now. I said, boy, do you know what you're saying? And even years after that, even after I became a minister, so I said, do you know what you're saying? You basically saying, for this little short joy that you're going to get on earth, and ain't no guarantee that once you sell your soul, the devil can kill you the next day. We've seen it happen in Hollywood.
Yes,
you see folks get that instant fame, and within 3-6 months from the fame, they did. Lucifer didn't fool them. The devil didn't trick them.
Tricked them.
So you mean to tell me for this little short time on earth, no joy and money that you're going to get, you're going to spend all eternity. And I know this hard to fathom. It's hard for me to fathom. Let me read these verses, and I'll be done. Amen. And it says, and I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, Lord, how much mercy, which were in them. And they were judged, every man and woman, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My God, brothers and sisters, if you have not received salvation today, Don't let this be you. There is nothing on this planet, in this world, that's worth your soul being lost for all eternity. Don't let these folks out here on social media fool you. It sounds cute. I know that these folks have read all these different books, and they want to make it seem like God ain't real.
Come
all
on, man.
This right here, this is the same thing as the Bible. All of this said this. Man, let me tell you something. As sure as my voice, and you hear it over the phone, there is a God. I don't care what nobody tell you.
There is a God.
I grew up in the church. Wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was 27 years old. Again, if I realized there's a God before I got saved, I realized it had nothing to do with my dad. Let me say this. I'm gonna get to the bottom. I'm gonna be gone. Let me say
That's
this.
All right, brother.
Let me say this to you real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
I got saved in 2000. The year was either 96 or 97. I didn't get saved until 2000. Hear me well. This hadn't been 96 or 97. I was a young man. I worked for an insurance company. And I was doing really good, living good, nice car, nice clothes. You know, my dad owned another house, lived in that house. And I was enjoying my life, having the time of my life, man. I mean, women here, women there, dressed nice, looked nice. Everything was just going my way. I will not ever forget. One morning, God blessed me to open my eyes. And the sun was shining through my blinds. I wouldn't say that at the time. See, just because you were raised in church, your mom and dad is in church faith, that don't mean you're saved. I was laying in my bed, and I heard the bird chirping outside my window. And I said, oh, my God, there is a God.
There is a God.
See, you don't have to become saved to know that there's a God, is what I'm saying to you. Just from the amazement of the beauty of seeing another day, hearing the bird chirp, seeing the sun come shining through my blinds and my window that morning, smelling the air outside, you know, hearing light going outside of my window, I said, there is a God.
There is a God.
Now, granted, I didn't get saved until 3 or 4 years later. See, that's how good and merciful God is. Because during that time that I even realized and acknowledged that there was a God, I could have lost my soul. But see, I didn't become saved and confess him as my Lord. See, let me think that salvation that you just know, you got to acknowledge God, and you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I'm gone. I'm going to turn it over to the elder. I don't want nobody to be lost. Romans 10, 9, and 10. You may say, well, how did I get to you today? Romans 10, 9, and 10. I don't want nobody to be lost. I'm just so sick and tired of all this murder and killing and folks just doing people in, just all this wrong that's going on in the world. I want you to get saved. So at least when the trumpet sound, you get to live for all eternity. Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahweh, Yahshua. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua and shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just that simple. Get saved today. Family, I love you all. Brother, while I'm working, I'll be still here on the earth for a while.
All right.
God bless you. And thank you for allowing me to be on the show with you.
Go
ahead. You love you, brother.
Yeah, love you too. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim Jackson. This is Elder Bazaar letting you know he done told the truth, nothing but the truth. He's the one that comes from the Word of God, and that's what I love about him, because he comes from the Word of God. Because if he wasn't, I wouldn't be here. And if I wasn't coming from the Word of God, he wouldn't be with me, because we live underneath of the Word of God is true. The Bible said, let God be true, and every man a liar. So let me tell you, all men today are liars. The only truth that we have is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And Christ said, he said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. While we were talking about this, amen, I was dwelling on that scripture that he read in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Revelation is the book that was shaped and cut through stone. Revelation is the book that will show you exactly what's going to happen in the future. And guess what? Some of Revelation now is in a prelude. Oh, yes, it is. It's in a prelude. It's waiting for the actual event that when the revelation comes to light, it will come to light, and we, a lot of people, will be left here. That is when the rapture of the church will occur. When the rapture of the church occur, Revelation will be opened up. Oh, look here. Look here. Revelation will be opened up. It was written to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and Asia Minor, the seven churches of Asia Minor, was supposed to deliver it to the world, and the world today don't want it. People don't want that last book. They don't want, in fact, the world don't want none of the books in the Bible. 66 books in the Bible, and every one of them is true. Every one of them is backed up with another scripture. Every one of them is what God has spoken to man, and man said, I don't want to hear that. I want to live what? My own life. I don't want God butting in my business. Let me do what I want to do. Let me say what I want to say. But yet and still, there's a time coming when all the wicked dead, I'll say that again, all the wicked dead will stand before the great white throne. And I'm not talking in hatred. I don't hate nobody. But what I hate is sin. I hate the devil. I hate the demons. I hate everything that the devil stands for. I hate it because he stands for nothing. He stands for the destruction. He stands for adversity. He stands for confusion. That's his plan. And his plan now is what? To try to deceive the whole world. The whole world? Is it possible? No. He's not going to deceive the whole world, but he's going to deceive majority of the population that's on this planet now. Majority of the people will be deceived. They will be tricked. They will be fooled on what's getting ready to come up. What's getting ready to come up? Well, let's see what we got. We got the eclipse. We got the eclipse coming up tomorrow. The eclipse when the moon comes in between the sun and earth, and it will cause darkness for at least 5 minutes. Darkness will come up on the earth tomorrow. It's called the eclipse of the moon blocking the sunlight of the sun is called a eclipse. The eclipse of the moon, and there's the eclipse of the sun. But right this time, we're talking about the eclipse of the moon, and it only happens every 100 years. And this eclipse is going to bring disaster upon the world because God Almighty is giving the world, given the church, given the economical, given the religious world, given the political world, a warning. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is getting ready to come back to this earth in power and in glory and in ecstasy. The world is going to see this Christ. Every eye shall see him. Every crooked eye, every black eye, every white eye, every dirty eye, every cross eye is going to see the majesty of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he comes back to the earth. But before he comes back to the earth and put his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, there is another Christ coming, a false Christ. This false Christ is called the Antichrist, anti-God, anti-holy, anti-righteous, anti-blood. This Antichrist is a man, and he's already on the scene. He's alive today. He's waiting for an event that's getting ready to happen, and that event is the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, the one that has been purchased with his own blood. No blood, no salvation. No blood, no redemption. No blood, no hope. No blood, no sanctification. No blood, no justification. No blood, no edification. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that without him shedding his blood on Calvary's cross, Brother Bazaar is a candidate for hell. But I thank God by his love and his mercy that he came all the way down here through 42 generations and died up on the cruel cross, and the devil don't like it. Well, what I want to get to you now, I'm going to show you what's getting ready to happen. in the next 5-6 months. This year, eclipse of the sun, of the moon, coming in between Earth is a judgment sign that judgment is on its way. In the book of Joel, in the book of Joel, scriptures says this. In the book of Joel, it says this. The 32nd verse in the second chapter of Joel. Joel said, written by the inspiration of God, Joel said, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is known as the Great Tribulation. The eclipse of the sun, the eclipse of the moon between the earth and the sun, it is a sign of the coming of the Great Judgment Day, where Jesus Christ will judge the world through the what? 7-year tribulation. The judgment cannot start until the body, let me tell you now, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ is those that have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And it's not church members. It's not your name or your status quo. It's not your looks. It's not your money. It's not your prestige. It's nothing but what? It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ to save your sin-sick soul. Because if you deny Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got a sick soul. You got a sick soul. Your soul is sick. Your mind is sick. Your ways are sick. Why? Because you have rejected the only way that God could redeem man back to himself. Only way he could do it. Out of 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 and beyond 10,000, there was no way other way through eternity. There is no end to eternity. And since there's no end, there's no other way that a man can be saved. Why? Because it was eternity that suffered and died on Calvary's cross. Who is eternity? God Almighty is eternity. And he became man, the Alpha and Omega. He died on Calvary's cross for what? The sins of man. But let me tell you, if you die in your sin, as the brother said, you cannot afford. I don't care who you are. You cannot afford to die lost. You can't. Because if you miss heaven, heaven ain't going to miss you. But if you miss heaven, I said heaven is not going to miss you. But if you go to hell, you are going to miss heaven. Because hell is a place, devil and his angels are going to be eternally damned forever. And all those that followed Lucifer, all those that did what Lucifer, all those that laughed, all those that mocked, all those that mocked Christ and said that he didn't exist, that he didn't come back from the grave, those that made fun of him, those that totally reject him and told him, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I am a Lutheran, I am this and I am that. I got religious experience. Religion is not going to get you to heaven because salvation is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. What is Christianity? Christianity is a relation, divine relationship with Jesus Christ by repenting of your sins and turning from your wicked ways and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Listen what it said. It said, in the last day, there'll be wonders in heaven. There's wonders now. Look at the planetary system. Look at the zodiac. Look at the quasar. Look at the stars. Look at everything that's going on. They tell me things are moving in the heavenlies. Meteorites are falling. Hell is falling. The stars are shaking. Ooh, why? Because there's going to be a definition, wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood. What's blood? Blood is volcanoes. Volcanoes are being erupted around the world. And what color is the volcano lava? It's red. Red like blood and fire and pillars of smoke. They tell me when a volcano set loose, they tell me it belches out nothing but smoke and red fire. And it's brimstone. And the world today is sitting on a powder keg, because now underneath the earth, underneath the subterranean, underneath into the core of the earth, there's a place called hell, H-E-L-L. It's a place where God prepared for the devil and his angels. He did not prepare it for mankind, because mankind is made after his likeness and after his image, and he loved man so much that he knew that Satan was going to deceive Eve and he was going to cause Adam to fall. But by his fall, they tell me God gave him another opportunity, and that was when he came down here through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Woo, suffered under Pontius Pilate, went to Calvary, and when he went to Calvary, he hung on the cross for 6 long hours. He died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They put him in the grave, and they say, well, if he rises, he rises. If he don't, he just don't rise. But he told the disciples, I'm going to be 3 days in the heart of the earth, and on the third day, I'm going to get up. I want to ask you a question. Did he get up? I'm a witness. I know he got up, because one Friday evening, he got up in me. He saved my soul and made me whole. He turned me around from darkness and sin and dross, and he told me to move on and call my name and say, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. So before Christ comes, there's going to be wonders in heaven. And one of the wonders is tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a wonder. It's going to be such a great wonder. People are driving many a mile to see this eclipse. But this eclipse is not just a wonder. It's a warning. It's a warning. It's a warning to the whole world. It's a warning to Satan. It's a warning to mankind. It's a warning to demons that let you know judgment day is coming. And when it comes, they tell me who shall be able to escape. And he said, the Bible said, how shall we escape? How shall we get away? They tell me the only way you can escape is through the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary's cross. And then in the 31st verse, it says, the sun shall be turned unto darkness, and the moon unto blood, blood moon. There's been 12 blood moons. There's been 12 blood moons. They are past. It's been fulfilled. But this year, one coming now, is going to represent that great and notable day. It says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. It's going to be a terrible day, my friends. And I'm not preaching fear. I don't preach fear. I'm preaching a warning. Don't leave this world without accepting Christ for yourself. You don't have to go to church to accept Jesus Christ. You can accept him in your home. You can accept him while you're walking down the road. You can accept him in your bathroom. You can accept him in your bedroom. You can accept him in your basement. The only thing you got to do is read the scripture in what? In the book of Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before that great and terrible day. That day is coming, my friend. That day is coming. How close are we? We're so close. Let me show you how close we are. We're so close that the temple that the Jews are getting ready to build, the temple, the third temple that the Jews are making preparation to rebuild the third temple. Because this temple that they're building, the Jews, since they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe Judaism is still active. But Judaism is no longer active. Judaism was eliminated at the cross. Because when Christ died on the cross, the veil temple rent from top to bottom. And now we don't use animals. We don't use goats. We don't use turtle doves. The Jews don't want to use, they want to use that because they have rejected Jesus Christ, and they think Jesus Christ was not sufficient enough to save mankind, so they want to go back and build a temple and go back into Judaism. And guess what? It's going to happen, but it's a warning to the Jewish people, don't go back, because this Jewish teaching that they have, we got to have a temple, and the temple will be built. The temple is in preparation now. Well, who is going to make a covenant with the Jewish people? Who? I'll tell you who. The Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot come until what? The church is removed. The church is the body of Christ, consisted of sanctified souls that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have given up who and turned against the world, turned against sin, turned against degradation, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he can save my soul by faith, not by works. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot just be a good person and go to heaven. You just can't have a whole lot of money and go to heaven. You can't just be a cute, pretty person and go to heaven. There's no respect to person. Without salvation through Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. Without Christ in your life, you're going to go to hell. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't cry your way to heaven. You can't run your way to heaven. You can't pay your way to heaven. You can't look good and go to heaven. You can't go by the color of your skin. You cannot go by your status quo. The only way that you can go to heaven is you got to come to the cruel cross where they hung Jesus Christ on a cruel cross, and they mocked him. They crucified him. They lied on him. They spit on him. They kicked him. They whipped him, and they told him, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. But Jesus said, I got a better idea. I got a better situation. I got a better way. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die for the sins of man. I'm going to die for the sins of the world. I'm going to be crucified. Yes, I am. And I'm going to die, and I'm going to be put in the grave, and I'm going to stay in the bowels of hell for 3 days and three nights. But on the third day morning, I'm going to get up out with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Christ is coming back. It shall come to pass, the 32nd verse, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Jesus Christ is going to pour out his spirit. He's pouring it out now. During the tribulation, he's going to pour a double portion. He's going to pour it that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How close are we to the rapture? Woo! How close are we to the rapture? We're so close that the scientific project that's going on in Newfoundland called CERN, C-E-R-N, CERN, these people are demonic devil worshipers, and they have built a machine that travels millions of miles a second around in a circle, and they're trying to open the portal so they can open up a portal of demons. And in the book of Revelation, the 9th chapter, guess what that is saying? That's saying that's the portal. That's what is going to happen. What's going to happen in the ninth chapter of Revelation? Let's give you a picture of what's yet to happen. Listen to what it says. In the ninth chapter of Revelation, CERN is getting ready to open up behind another dimension, a portal, that behind the portal, there are demons, spirits that's bound in the bottomless pit. And when the ninth chapter comes up in Revelation, which will be during the tribulation period, this is what is going to happen. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key. What is the key? The key is CERN, the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. And he, Satan, opened the bottomless pit. They're opening it up now in CERN. Satan is working on that now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Revelation says, and he, which is Satan, opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. This probably will be concentrated on the old Roman Empire. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, which is the 144,000 that will come after the rapture of the church. 144,000 Jews, God has already picked out. God has already anointed. God is getting ready to seal them. They will what? Preach the gospel during the time of the first part of the tribulation, and they have a seal upon their head that these demons will not be able to possess them. But only those that have not the seal of God on their forehead, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. Demons now are tormenting people. Demons, devils, cohorts, Nephilim are tormenting our human race. They're tormenting people. They're causing people to be twisted mind, twisted ways, twisted attitude. Oh, he is messing up people's soul through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through all kinds of sins and degradation. They're twisting men's mind. Huh? And so when this year pit is open, these scorpions come out. When they come out, they sting men. This is what it says. And to them it was given that they should not kill them. Don't kill nobody. But they should be tormented 5 months of tormenting. What's 5 months? When do locusts come out? Locusts come out in May. Locust comes out in May. May. When they come out, they last for 5 months. When these scorpions come out of the bottomless pit, they will taunt men for 5 months. That means May, June, July, August, and September. 5 months, man will be tormented for 5 months. For those that have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Ooh, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here when that happens. You don't want to be here. If you want to be anything, you need to be saved. You need to come to Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can escape these scorpions, because they're going to torment men's body. Now, listen to what it said. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. For pain, it's going to be painful. Be so bad that people want to die is bad indeed. Evidently, pain-killing drugs will not work. It will be interesting how medical doctors will diagnose all of this, to say at the least. It's going to be so painful and so agonizing that men will want to die. And people are already dying. Suicide is up these days amongst our young people. Suicide. People are killing themselves because of the pain of life, the agony of life, the disappointment of life, the confusion of life. And the reason you're confused is because you're living on your own. You're living what Satan tells you. You're living because you're rejecting God. You're living the way you want to live. And sin will damn your soul. You hear what I said? I say sin will damn your soul. God has never damned a soul. You damn yourself when you reject Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. He died. He suffered. He was crucified. He mortified. And they tell me he dropped his head and died and put in the grave, and he paid the penalty for sin. Jesus Christ paid for my sin. And all the gold, all the silver, all the jewelry, all the precious stones. See, God himself didn't have enough money to pay for my salvation. Money was not the way for salvation. It took Jesus Christ, God himself, to suffer on Calvary's cross and give up his life for our sin in order to redeem us. Because, gold and silver cannot redeem you. Your looks cannot redeem you. Your car cannot redeem you. Your wife, your children cannot redeem you. Your pastor cannot redeem you. Nobody can redeem your soul but Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Oh, my God, my God, my God. These scorpions, don't you know what's going to happen after this year? Eclipse happen. They tell me out of the ground are going to come katydids. Katydids is an insect that will come up out of the earth after this eclipse happen. It may be a few weeks. It may be a few months. It may be 6 months. But they're going to come up out the earth before it hits fall again. And they will stay up on the earth for a period of time, probably for 5 months. They won't sting nobody, but this is what's going to happen because they come out every 17 years. They came out in 2017, and 7 years later, 17 years later, they're coming out again, 2024. 17 and 17. They're coming out. And when they come out, they are going to eat vegetation. What these things look like, Revelation describes them. Revelation describes them. And it's not beautiful. Listen to what it said. The seventh verse. It said, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. These are demon spirits, but will be invisible. Listen, but will be invisible. If they could be seen, this is what they will look like. We aren't told the origin in the Bible. We know they were not originally created in this manner, but evidently became this way in the revolution of instigated by Lucifer against God. So these spirits will be set loose from CERN, C-E-R-N, that is a spiritual, devastating event that these people are trying to open up a portal gate. And when they open up this portal gate, these wicked spirits are going to be invisible, and they're going to latch on. They're going to latch on to the human race for those that don't have the seal of God on their forehead, and they're going to be tormented for 5 months. They ain't going to kill nobody. They're going to be tormented for 5 months. And after the 5 months are over, they are going to go back into the abyss. This is what they look like if they would come visible. It said, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They were no doubt originally created by God to perform a particular function of praise and worship, even as the living creatures, but they have suffered this fate due to rebellion against God. Ninth verse, and they had breastplate, as it were breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. We are given a glimpse, here into the spirit world. This is the reason such foolishness effort of humanistic psychology and helpless against you, such foes. The only answer to stop these things, this is what I'm saying now, the only answer in eternity, the only answer in ions and the eon is Christ and the cross is the only thing can stop these things. You don't hear me, do you? This is the only thing can stop these things. We have seen it on TV. We have seen these horror movies and these different kinds of creatures that have come up out the earth. We have seen all kind of movies that have been made ever since 1930. Hollywood been making horror movies and making all kind of scorpions and all kind of things. And they tell me these things actually exist. They are bound in the bottomless pit. And they are going to come out of this pit during the time of the tribulation period. And this tribulation period will last 7 years, but the scorpions will only last 5 months, because God is giving man a taste of the demonic forces to get them to repent. Woo! God is graceful. God is merciful. God is good. God is wonderful. God is outstanding. God is unique. God is immaculate. He's giving man a test to let them know what it feels like to be stung by these scorpions, and then after the 5 months, they're all going to become back natural, but yet and still men, some men still won't repent. They won't turn from their wicked. They won't turn from whorish. They won't turn from lying. They won't turn from cheating. They won't turn from homosexuality. They won't turn from lesbianism. They won't turn from incest. They won't turn from sodomite. They won't turn from alcohol and drinking and drugs. They won't turn from wife swapping. They won't turn from adultery. They won't turn from fornication. They won't turn because the sin of man hardens their heart, and they prefer to suffer for sin than give their life to Christ. But let me tell you, it ain't going to be no picnic. This is Bible. This is B-I-B-L-E. And if you don't believe it's Bible, you got to get your Bible out and read it, because it's going to happen. 11th verse. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Gives us further insight into the spirit world of darkness, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek it is called Apollyon, has his name Apollyon. This is a powerful fallen angel who evidently threw in his lot with Lucifer in the great rebellion against God. Only four angels are named in scripture: Gabriel, Micah, Lucifer, and Apollyon, the first two being righteous. And it says this, woe, one woe is past, refers to the fifth trumpet judgment. And behold, there come two more woes hereafter. And the word behold calls attention to the fact that the two remaining woes will be increasingly horrified. Man, you don't want to stay here after the rapture of the church, because the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet is on his way. And I'm going to tell you right now, the way the Bible prophecy has been fulfilled, and I've been preaching this for 58 years, 58 years. I'd have been over this over and over, and some of it I forgot, but I have to get my mind renewed every day and let you know this is going to happen. This is going to happen to show you born. You don't want to be here after the birth of the church and after the rapture of the church, because the church will not, cannot, it's impossible to go through this, because God Almighty is going to deliver his body, because he don't want his body to be going through judgment. We have already been judged. And if you come to Jesus Christ, that means that you have been judged at the cross. If you've been judged at the cross, your soul can be set free from sin, death, hell, and the grave, and you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you can be redeemed from the damnations of hell. You can go to heaven when the trumpets blow, because when the trump blow, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. How soon is it, Preacher Bazard? How soon is it? I'm going to make a pause. I don't know what hour. I don't know what day. But I'm telling you right now, 95.999, the rapture will occur this year. I say it again, 95.9999, the rapture will occur this year, because God is letting the devil set the table. He's setting the table in the Middle East. He's setting the table with the political world. He's setting the table with the financial world. He's setting the table with the religious world. And he's setting the table with all the signs and wonders that's going on in the earth, all the confusion and strife, all the killing and murdering. He's setting the table, because in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be with the Lord. So I'm telling you now, you don't have to take my word for it, but the Bible already said, when you see these things be fulfilled, look up, for your redemption draw nigh. Jesus Christ is coming again this year. You know something? And if he don't come, I'm going to have to eat everything I said. This is the only thing I'm telling you now. He is coming this year. People say, oh, we got a lot of time. No, you don't. Look at our poultry system. Look at our meat system. It's been polluted. Look at our chickens, and look at our cattle, and look at the storm. Look at the rain clouds. Look at the tornadoes. Look at the earthquakes that's going on. Look at the moon and the stars are shaking. Look at underneath the earth. Look on the top side of the earth. Look at the murders. Look at the prison house. Look at some of our churches. They have died. Some of our churches are dead. Jesus Christ said, if you don't repent, talking to the churches, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove the candlesticks from you. In other words, I'm going to close the doors. And you know something? People ain't going to church like they used to. There are some going, but they ain't going like they used to. And then when they get there, they really ain't having no church. They having parties. They having good times. They having singing inspiration. They having all kinds of good times, but they ain't telling nobody, you got to repent or you're going to likewise perish. You got to turn from your low-down, dirty, rotten self. Oh, I'm talking about myself, too. I used to be out there. I did my thing, and I got sick of it. I got dead sick of it. I got tired of being tired. And I said, Lord, save my soul before it's everlasting too late. And he saved my soul. Woo! At the age of 9, because I hadn't got into the world. But let me tell you, he saved me at 9. He kept me through a lot of stuff. I didn't practice sin, but I sinned. Some of the things I wasn't doing, I didn't like what I was doing. And what I hate, that's what I did. And when I wanted to do good or evil was present me, and God kept me in perfect peace. He kept me, woo, because he can keep you. Ain't no such thing as a drop-by salvation. Saved today and lost tomorrow. Saved today and lost tomorrow. Quit crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit nailing him to the cross over and over again. Quit it. If you say you saved for a period of time, you should be going in grace. You should be not doing the things you used to be. But if you haven't had a change in your life, if you haven't had a divine change in your life, and if you haven't been filled with the love of God in your life, and if you're going around talking about you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar and the truth is not in you, because when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, you love everybody. Oh, yes, you do. And you tell me you don't love everybody, you got a problem. Because God is, woo, God is, not was, not trying to be, God is love. God is nothing but love. God is love in the morning, love in the afternoon, loving when the sun don't shine, loving when it's shining. He loves the world that he gave. He did something about it. He gave his only begotten son. Ain't got no more sons, ain't got no more substitute. The angels couldn't go. Woo! The cherubims couldn't go. The seraphims couldn't go. Abraham couldn't go. Job couldn't go. Isaiah couldn't go. Jeremiah couldn't go. Ezekiel couldn't go. Malachi couldn't go. Hosea couldn't go. Nobody could go and pay for the sins of mankind from the Garden of Eden all the way over to the millennium reign. Nobody could have did it but Jesus Christ. And you tell me you ain't bowed down to him, you ain't fearing him, you ain't respecting him, you don't love him, you better get it together. Because let me tell you, when this rapture comes, because the Jews are, like I said, the Jews are getting the red heifers ready, they're getting the altars ready, they're getting the bricks and the mortar ready to build the temple. There's going to be an earthquake. There's going to be more war. There's war coming. There's war in Israel. Russia's getting ready to go to war. Iran and Persia's getting ready to go to war. And they tell me there's going to be wars and wars and rumors of war, and it ain't going to stop until the end of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Because at the beginning, at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And after the Lord binds Satan in the bottomless pit, they tell me there's going to be a 1,000 year of Jesus Christ ruling with a rod of iron. And guess where he's coming from? He's coming from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be the focal point of the millennium reign for 1,000 years, and Christ is going to rule and reign, and Satan is going to be bound. And guess what? Those that came through the tribulation in their natural bodies that received Christ, that received Christ through the tribulation period, they are going to be able to go into the millennium reign and repopulate the earth one more time. Repopulate the earth one more time. And during the millennium reign, there won't be no war, no killing, no lying. Woo! There won't be nothing but peace in the valley. Peace in the valley. Jesus Christ will rule and reign, and they call him the Prince of Peace. They call him the King of Kings. They call him Jehovah. They call him the Mighty One. They call him Mr. Eternity. They call him the love of God that was shed on Calvary's cross through Jesus Christ. They call him Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Get ready. get ready for the eclipse. I advise you not to go outside and try to look at it without these special glasses. And you got to watch what you buy if you do want to go out. I'm not telling you not to go out, but don't be looking, trying to look at that straight sun, look at the eclipse without your glasses. I mean, special glasses. If you don't, you look at it, you're going to lose your eyesight. You're going to lose your eyesight. Jesus Christ is coming, my friends. And after this year eclipse happened, you watch what I tell you. The Bible said catastrophe is going to come. God's going to not shake just the heavens. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. And the only thing we'll be able to stand is the rock. And Jesus Christ is that rock. He is God Almighty in the flesh. When he come back, he's coming back in a glorified body. No more flesh. He's coming back as a Prince of Peace. He's coming back as the Almighty God. He's coming back as a rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's coming back as the bread from heaven. He's coming back that water that flows. He's coming back to what? Set up his millennial kingdom and bind Satan for 1,000 years and let the world repopulate itself. And guess what? God's going to give humanity one more opportunity, and that's the seventh dispensation. The seventh dispensation will be the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! The dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will cover the earth like water covers the sea. The Holy Spirit will rule. The Holy Spirit will be able to save during the millennium reign. And everybody that's born in the millennium reign will be able to see Jesus Christ, woo, over the period of 1,000 years. And the nations of the world will come into Jerusalem and worship. Worship. Nothing but worship. Ain't going to be no partying. Ain't going to be no recreation. Woo. It'll be the love of God. And let me tell you, God said, I'm going to let you become ruler of many nations. God is going to rule now. Satan has been ruling for what? 6,000 years, and he done turned the world into a living hell almost. The only thing is short of a living hell, there's no fire. There's fire, but ain't nobody burning yet. So you don't want to burn. Come to Jesus. He loves you. Come to Jesus. He's compassionate towards you. Come to Jesus. He gave his life that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Come to Jesus. He'll forgive you of all your sins. He'll forgive you. And when he forgives you forever. When he saves you forever. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ can keep you forever. No sin can overturn the blood of Jesus Christ. You are saved forever. You are saved forever. You are saved forever. There's no way that the devil and all his cohorts can come in and unsave you. Ain't no thing. If you've been born physically, you cannot be unborn physically. If you were born spiritually, you cannot be unborn spiritually. Ye must be born again. Your church name is all right, but your church name, your denomination, you can't go that way. You can't go that way. You can't go the way of Catholic. You can't go the way of Presbyterian. You can't go the way of Muslim. You can't go the way of a Baptist. You cannot go to heaven on none of those man-made called denominations, because all of them is not telling the truth. All of them is not preaching the truth. All of them is not living the truth. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, don't mean that they know Jesus Christ. Everybody that says, I cast out devils, I spoke in tongues, I did all these wonderful works. Jesus Christ said, wait a minute, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So all these clowns that's getting on social media just telling you everything about getting rich, everything about what you should do, what you should not do. But very few of them is preaching the cross of Christ. Very few are holding up the bloodstained banner. Very few are telling you what Jesus done, nobody else can do or will do or even think about doing what he did, and you worshiping the preacher. You worship the evangelist. You worship your money. You worship your house. You worship everything but Jesus Christ. And guess what? If you don't love him with all your mind, all your soul, and all your beings, you missing it. Because Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in thereat. For narrow is, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. So very few people are going to make it into the glory. Very few people are going to make it. Isaiah 5 and 14 said, and hell has enlarged herself. Hell is growing every day. People are dying going to hell. They're going because they refuse and reject the cure and lie and do all these wicked things and curse God and lie on God and say God is dead and he ain't nothing. Ho, will be cast into the lake of fire because they haven't been born again. If you go to hell, you're going to hell because you haven't been born again. Period. Nicodemus could come back and tell you what Jesus told him. You must be born again. Whatever's born of flesh is flesh. Whatever's born of spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again. My friends, you need Jesus Christ in 2024. Because it ain't over yet. It ain't over. God is going to shake the world. God is going to wake up a lot of people. God is going to let you know, hey, I love y'all. I gave my son to you. I suffered for you. I love y'all. I love the black man, the white man, the Japanese man, the Jewish man. I love everybody. That's what God is telling me to tell you. He loves everybody. He ain't got no pets. And all that love that he is willing to give you and save you, you're rejecting it. You are telling God some other time. I ain't got time for that stuff. I ain't got time for that old moaning and groaning and singing songs and hymns. I ain't got time to hear the word of God. I ain't got time for that stuff. Man, I'm a party. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to enjoy the women. I'm going to enjoy my money. I'm going to enjoy my cars. I'm going to enjoy all the materialistic things that I can get enjoyment out of. And I ain't thinking about no cross. I don't want the blood of Jesus Christ to come into my life. I don't want the Spirit of God to come upon me. I'm doing well. I am doing well. And by the way, I don't believe in all this hocus pocus. Well, if you don't believe in it, Jesus told us already. He said, except you repent. And repent means to turn from your sin and your ungodly sorrows. You're sorry for what you have said, done, and thought about this Christ. He was real. He was human. He had blood. He was human. He knew what it was to suffer. But he didn't suffer for himself. He suffered for the world. The guy that's in prison, the rapist, the homosexual, he suffered for the liar, for the backbiter, for the racial injustice, for the supremacies, for people who hate black people, for black people who hate white people. He died for that, that you would turn from it and believe on the name of the Son of God so Jesus Christ can do what? So he can come in to your spirit realm and save your soul from damnation. My friends, there is a hell. Please listen. there is a hell. Don't believe all these quacks that coming on social media, some like Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, and Clefo Dollar, Rick Warner, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Juanita Byrne, Joyce Myers, Paula White, Bishop Eddie Young, Bishop Noel Jones, so-called Farrakhan, so-called Kenneth Copeland. These guys are quacks. They ain't telling you nothing. They don't lift up the name of Jesus Christ. They don't stand for Jesus Christ. They don't stand for his blood and his suffering. They don't even talk about it. Yet they may mention Jesus, but they don't know the agony that Christ suffered on Christ. They beat him beyond recognition, and the world don't even identify themselves with it. What profit a man to gain the whole round world and lose his little teeny weeny soul? Your soul is small. You ain't got no, your soul ain't that big. It's a puff of smoke. It's steam coming from a teapot. You can clap your hands and it's gone. You only live a few days on this earth. And all the days you live, Bible says you're full of trouble. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Come to Jesus tonight. You don't have to go to hell. And there is one. And the reason I'm spending time on hell today, because Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. He did. He warned the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. He warned everybody, don't come here. The rich man went to hell and he said, tell my five brothers, don't you come down here. And Abraham told him, said, now look, your brothers have heard the prophets and the word of God, and they don't even believe it. Now, how in the world you would expect me to tell them? I talked to your brother that's in hell, that told me to tell you don't come here. They ain't going to believe that. Jesus warned every human being on this planet, and people have heard about hell. They use it in their vocabulary. Hell no, hell yes, how the hell are you? Where the hell are you going? Oh, man, give them hell. They use it. And if they use it, and if there wasn't no hell, there wouldn't be nothing to say about hell. And as much as a hell, there is a heaven. And the heaven is where all the blood-washed saints go. No sin will ever enter into heaven. No sin. So if you are living in sin, if you're living in sin, you ain't going. The only way you can prepare yourself to go is your soul must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Okay. But yet and still my soul is saved. That's talking about me now. My soul is saved. I'm saved and sanctified. I love the Lord. I love people. I love the word of God. I just love it. I just love it. I just love it. Why? Because I'm saved. God is first in my life. Nothing else is second. Now, can I go to heaven like this in this body? What's the answer? The answer is no. God cannot let me enter in heaven with flesh and blood. So I cannot go to heaven in this body. I cannot go to heaven in this body. I don't care how much soap, washing powder, or whatever you use to clean yourself up. I cannot go to heaven in this body because this body is sin. Dwells in this body. This sin that Paul talked about. When I wanted to do good, evil was present. So I cannot go to heaven in this body. What has to happen before I can go to heaven and enter in to the throne of judgment seat of Bema? What has to happen? I'm going to tell you what has to happen. The only one to get this new body is the only one that will save. If you say, when the trumpets blow, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in other words, it's so fast that you wouldn't even know I'm gone. It's a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be with the Lord forever. Comfort one another with these words. So what I'm saying, the only way I can go to heaven is you must be born again, and then when the trumpets blow, you will be changed from mortal to immortality, and I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And those that are in the grave, they will get up and dust off mortal and put on immortality. And then it is said, and it is written, oh, death.
I'm using a voice assistant to convert your voice to text and respond to you.
The gift of God's eternal life. God bless you.
Yeah.
Am I still on?
We'll try something different.
Am I still on, Doc?
You want to toast that? Okay.
Yeah, I got 5 minutes.
That's fine. I'm on
time. I got 7 minutes. Are you still on? I'd like the altar. If you still hear me, say amen. I'm having an altar call. Those that want to be saved right now, those that want to accept Christ as your personal Savior, and if you accept him in your heart, amen, and you're concerned about baptismal, you can ask the Lord to lead you to a preacher or somebody that knows the scripture, somebody that's saying that you would like to be baptized. If you don't get baptized, You still go to heaven if you don't get baptized. Baptized does not bring salvation. Baptism is a badge of identity to represent that you believe in the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, thou shalt be saved. And by the way, the tribulation period, people won't have time to be baptized because it's going to take faith for you to escape this Antichrist. And this Antichrist is going to tell you if you don't fall down and worship me, you will be beheaded. You will suffer death. If you receive the mark, that means your soul will be damned forever to eternity because you have rejected the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God bless you. This is Elder G. Bazaar. Come back next week. We'll go over it again. We'll get down to the nitty-gritty, let you know. Amen. Don't believe nobody. Don't believe nobody but Jesus. Don't believe nobody unless they fully come from the Word of God and breaks it down for you in the scriptures. Read the Bible for yourself, and you'll find out that salvation is free. God give it to you free plus nothing equals salvation. Don't let nobody tell you that you have to work to get to heaven. There ain't no working in it. The works comes after you have received Christ. Now you're able to do good works. Through who? Christ. You can't do good works unless you do it through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty in the Spirit through Jesus Christ, God the Father. God bless you. This is the Elder Bazaar. Stay strong. Look up. Redemption's door nigh. Look out for the trumpets. They're getting ready to sound. Amen.